Well, it is my privilege tonight to welcome Ben Queck to take the Bible study. Ben was a student with us here in Cardiff, and now he's a member with Adrian Brake in Carmarthen in West Wales. And Ben has started preaching recently, and I've been blessed, Ben, by the message that I heard from Carmarthen. And so it's so good to be able to have you come to us tonight and open the word, and may the Lord draw near to us as you do that. Now, Ben has asked me to read from Genesis chapter 1, and is it to verse 3 of Genesis chapter 2? And then I'll hand over to Ben after the reading. Or do you want to do the reading? Yeah, you're more comfortable? Yeah, so I'll hand over to Ben now.
The reading today will be from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2, verse 3. Probably a passage which is very familiar to most of you, if not all of you. A passage about God and the beginning of the world. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth, and to rule over the dark, rule over day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament in the heaven." So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth and every tree which fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and morning were the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Before I begin, I might be a bit hoarse because I'm recovering from a cold, but it's not COVID. Let us look to God in prayer then. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, O God, you're God Almighty who made heaven and earth. The heaven and earth which we dwell in, of which we are creatures, Lord, your creation, made from the dust of the earth. Oh, magnify your name, God. Oh, magnify your name, dear Father. Lift up our hearts, Lord, that we might be lifted up above and beyond, Lord, the things that are on this earth, to see you. To see you in your glory, your holiness, your majesty. Do indeed say that you are awesome, O God. Oh, touch our hearts, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, work in us, Lord, we pray. And help me, Lord, as I bring the word today. Focus our hearts, lift up our hearts, my heart too, with much delight in you. And help us, Lord, after this, to pray. To pray to you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, Lord, we pray. And magnify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've prepared in the ESV, so it's going to be very similar, just in case it sounds a bit different for some of you. So we look at the days of creation, and I believe you're all familiar with it. Anyone here who it's new? Very good. So I've got a question for you. If you look at all the days of creation, in this creation narrative, when is the highest and greatest moment of all creation? I ask you all, you can show I know by a little wave of the hand that you agree. Who thinks it is day one, you know, when light is made? Two? Three, four, five. How about day six, and the animals were made? How about day six, when man was made? Day seven? When was the highest day and greatest point in creation? Now, for all of us, I've grew up in a church which faithfully taught the Bible, and oftentimes, when we read the creation narrative, we go, wow, it's amazing. And then we stop at mankind and we go, oh, that's me, you know? That's me, isn't it? God is making me in his image. That's got to be the best and the highest thing. It was the last thing anyway. I propose to you that there is something way, way, way greater than the creation of men. But to understand that, we have to look at it in its context. Now, I heard that this is not really a sermon, it's Bible study as well. So we've got the Bible. Let's study it. If you have your Bible with you, and you flip through the pages and you look at Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, you see this. Day 1, day 2, day 3, 4, 5, 6, and all of them are in chapter 1. And then you reach chapter 2, day 7, creation of man and woman. And so when we look at that, we go, wow, the 6 days. God's message to us has definitely got to be that you, mankind, are the greatest image of God on this earth. And wow, behave. But if we looked at the text, we see something quite different. Where does it cut off? Does it cut off at day 6? Or does it cut off after day 7? If you look at verse 4, it says, these are the generations of the heaven and earth when they were created. Now this phrase, these are the generations of the heaven and earth, is used in the book of Genesis over 10 times. This is the generations of Ishmael. These are the generations of Jacob. These are the generations of Isaac. These are the generations of Noah. And each time that is used, it denotes a new part of the story, a new part of the narrative which God has given us. It splits. It's kind of like when you hear a story and they go, well, let me tell you something else. And they move on to the next topic. So what about the verse before then? Verse 7. I'll say that verse 7 belongs to the first 6 days as a whole. If God is wanting us to look and focus on something as a whole, it makes sense, doesn't it? You count to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you don't go, okay, I'll stop there. Tomorrow, let's look at 7. But I, for countless times growing up reading scripture, I would stop at day 6 and go, wow, you know, man. All right, tomorrow I'll read the book of Romans then. You know, you just jump on. The highest point in creation is not the creation of man. It's on day 6 when God made something. He rested and he made the 7th day holy. Holy. Set apart for God. Now, before we think about that, let's look once again at verses 1 to 3. Starting from dust, the heavens and the earth were finished. There's a tendency, I have to say, we in evangelical circles, we tend to narrow on maybe one text, and then the next text. And then there's some parts which we don't fully grasp, and then we hop on to the next one after that. And there's a tendency when we read this part as well to hop on. But in the first 3 verses here, there is a lot of repetition. Now, why is repetition important? Not so much in the English language. We've got full stops, exclamation mark, question mark, bold, highlighting, now increased text size. Well, but if you go all the way back then, they didn't have any of that, so much of that. The main way to highlight something is to repeat it. It's a bit like if you park your car outside and a policeman stops you and go, sir, you see that car? It is your car, isn't it? And you go, yes. And he goes, I want you to think about your car. And you go, it's a beautiful car. And you tell him, no, I do like my car. And he says, no, sir, think again about your car and the road. And you would think, I think I'm missing something here. I think there's something actually he's trying to draw my attention to. Maybe it's parked on a double yellow line or something like that. So we look here in the first 3 verses that there is a lot of repetition. Pick one. In your mind, I'm going to read it again. Pick on either one of this. Remember the words on the 7th day. Or you can remember the words, the work that he had done. Or you can remember the words, finished and done. Or you could remember the word rest. So just remember one of this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the 7th day, God finished his work that he had done, and rested on the 7th day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, we see this and we tend to go, oh, fantastic. Now, let me look at the next generation. Oh, creation of man and woman. Fantastic. Let me read about that. And we tend to glaze over it and miss what is most important. I'll say most important in God's eyes. And what should be most important in our eyes. And that influences greatly on how we live as Christians, how we think about life on earth, and how we think about life forevermore with God. Now, 6 days, God created the heavens and earth. Verse 2, on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. Now, he finished it. It doesn't just end there. It goes, he rested on the seventh day, once more repeating seventh day, from all his work that he had done. So the first thing that God did was finished. Afterwards, there's rested. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Third thing, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. What's the reason? Because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Repeating that once again, once more. What is God driving at? What is the main point here? We look at the words blessed and holy as the main focus of the text. Now, think about the previous 6 days of creation. Some of you raised your hand towards the sixth day. Some of you raised your hand at the creation of man. But what if I went among you like, oh, you sir over there, you're good. You're good as well. You're good as well. And then he skips out. He doesn't say anything about one person. You're good as well. But you, very good. And then you, holy. And it's just symbolic. But you know, it's like, whoa, there's a big, big difference when God uses holy. And we tend to glaze over that. We just look at very good. Oh, all of creation, God says, very good. Oh, amazing. Okay, let's move on to something else then. That's not where God wants us to end at. He wants us to finish on holy. God didn't bless man and say, you man, you are holy. He didn't bless the cows and the birds and says, you are holy. He didn't bless the sun saying, holy sun. Not S-U-N. But then, he focused here on the whole day just for himself and then said it was holy. What does it mean? We know holy, I mean, on the Greek word is kadosh. To purify, to set apart, to make something clean. Now, the seventh day wasn't sinful, so it wasn't this kind of purity like, oh, it's a dirty day, we'll clean it now. But there was, he set it apart, made it distinct from everything else to teach us a big, big lesson. You know, I went hiking on Penivan, trying to climb up and all that. And we Singaporeans, we don't really climb up very high. We don't have hills in our country. The highest hill is maybe a wee bit over 200 meters, and we go, wow, that's exhausting. Now, I went with my friends to hike up Penivan, and we didn't go the straight road up, you know, the easy road straight to the top. We went slightly around Story Arms and the left side, the one which goes over hill and dips down in the valley and then finally goes up the top. We're hiking along this and hiking. And then I thought, about 15 minutes now. And we're just walking, exhausted. I think we see the peak. And when we get to there, it was a dip down again. And I thought, there's an even higher peak. And it was going up into the clouds. I couldn't believe it. I thought, ah, that's what the mountain is like. It's not the little hills which we see in Singapore. Now, when we look at the days of creation, we see it a bit like that. Wow, you know, God made the light. Wow, he's separated with a firmament, divided the waters. Wow, the land, the sea, the animals. And then you see going higher. And then finally, wow, creation of mankind. That's got to be the greatest point. And then suddenly, you hit a cliff. It just goes vertically straight up into the clouds. Holy. Holy and separate from everything else. Why? Why did God make this day holy? We take one step back then, and we see it repeated again and again. God finished, he rested. Finished, he rested. Now, when we humans hear rest, there's a tendency to read our humanity into this passage. You know, the reason that God rested was because he was exhausted. He was, oh, catch my breath. Okay, move on to something else now. But we know the creator of the earth, the Bible says, never tires, never gets exhausted. And how did he create the world? Did he say, let me get my two kids and support help from the angels? Come on, everyone, we need lots of help. And he finally toil and sweat and he created man. No. God spoke. He spoke. How tiring is it to speak? I know some of you all have either smartphones or these devices at home which you can speak to it. Google, turn on the light for me. Alexa, send a message to my brother. I speak to you, Siri, set an alarm for... You tell your devices to turn on the light. No one goes, turn on the lights for me. And then after that, you go, oh, boy, that was exhausting, saying that few words. It's so easy. So easy. God spoke the world into being. But why then did God need to rest? The Hebrew word for rest, sabbat, is not so much of a rest of exhaustion. It can be used in that sense. But it's a rest of stopping, desisting. In current English, people say, oh, I stopped. I was doing something and I stopped. You're driving, you press your brake, you stop. No one presses your brakes and you go, oh, that was exhausting. Let me stop at this traffic light to get my strength back. No, you just rest and you stop. But even more, the rest of God was a rest of enjoyment and delight. Enjoyment and delight. What is it like? Imagine, one of you, I'm going to use Paul, for example. Imagine moves to a new house. He spends the first day getting people up, you know, getting the electricity and wiring and turning on the lights. Fantastic. The next month, he gets the water system, plumbing. Fantastic. Next day, he brings in maybe a pet and some animals and gets things all built and the paint. And finally, it's all done. And on the second last day, he takes a picture of him and his family, made in his own image, puts it on the wall, you know. Oh, wow. And then finally, he sits down with his family by the fireplace, you know, legs on the ground and resting. Resting. And for a whole month, maybe he just rests and enjoys. It's not really the rest of exhaustion that he's resting there. It's a rest of enjoyment. Everything was made for him. The lights were for him. The water system were for him. The roast that he can smell in the oven was for him. And above all, the picture made his own image, was for him. Everything's for him. Now imagine someone coming to his house and going, hello, Paul, I've come to speak to you. He walks straight to the painting or the picture and starts talking to it for half an hour. Hi, Paul, how are you today? Hi, Paul, yes, you all right? Yes, Paul? You think the person is insane. Focus, don't focus on the painting, Paul, please. Focus on him. You've come to visit me, haven't you? When God rests, and when God sets apart a day for himself, it is to teach us mankind that you are not the greatest point in all of history and creation. You are not the center of the universe. You are wonderful. You are made in his image. You are not God. You are not God. God has created the whole house, like a marvelous mansion. The whole universe is his, for him to enjoy, for him to be glorified, for him to rest, this rest of joy and enjoyment. He ceased, he blessed, he set it apart as holy. Now, what does that mean for us? I'll look at two parts here. I'll look at what it means for us in terms of our life and our sin, and lastly, I'll point to the cross of Jesus Christ. See what it means for us as we live. If you live in your life, and I'm sure many of us do, with this sinful idea and tendency that life is all about me, my pleasure, my comfort. I can't believe I'm going through such a difficult situation right now. Or I can't believe I don't get this. You know, if only I could buy that new car or that new device or that new piece of clothing, then I would truly be happy. If only I had a relationship, a spouse, or maybe children, or maybe if only a dead one, a deceased relative could come back to life, then I'll truly be happy because, you know, I just go about life and it's all about me. And when we look at the Ten Commandments, we look at the commandments of God, it's not so much of just don't lie, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't commit adultery. All these commandments stem from the heart and root sin of having ourselves as the idol in the whole earth. Maybe not ourselves, maybe it's some created thing. I love my garden so much, I'm not going to care about God. Spend all my time in the garden, or how some people, young people, is playing of computer games, or other people is entertainment. Maybe if you're older, it's your prestige and your respect among men. That's the heart of sin. The heart of sin is as if when we live in the first 6 days of creation, and we don't pay heed to God. For Him, through Him, to Him, were all things created. They all existed and were created, it says in Revelation. The heart of sin is when we don't do that. That's why God gives us certain instructions like remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We tend to get this legalistic aspect to it. Sabbath day means no work. No work means Sabbath. That's not the focus which God had given you. He doesn't start the command by saying, do not work on the Sabbath day. Okay, next command. He says, remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart. Because God Himself separated the whole day in a week to glorify Himself especially. And He wants you to set apart a day from so many of the things which you're often so preoccupied and busy and working with, to focus on Him. Not for the sake of that day alone, but for the sake of all 7 days. In order that as we live in life, our heart and focus may be on Him, on God, and not on ourselves. We all say we're Christians. We struggle. We do sin with this. But if any of you here, you're not a Christian, it's the same sin, the same struggle. Idols, the idols in our heart are the main thing which brings God's anger and wrath towards us. Oh, that we may turn back to God. Turn back to God. But let me finish with the way which God has made back to Him. You know the way. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father. No man may come to God except through Him. How? How do we go back to Him? Now, the seventh day in the Bible oftentimes is used as a picture of work, 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 rest, rest. It says in Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 11, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter the rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Well, what's he talking about? Who fell by disobedience? The Israelites. They're going through the desert. They didn't want to trust God. Many of them died in the wilderness. They never entered into the promised land. This promised land of rest. But even that is a picture of us on this life. Work, 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 work. To try. Try to make yourself righteous before God's eyes. Try to make yourself good enough. Or perhaps you don't care. Either way, you're working or no, you're not working. Your focus is on the work, the work, the work. And there's no way to enter into the rest of God. There's no way to enter back. Except through Jesus Christ. Come to me, it says. All you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you Rest. Rest. How? How can you go once again, leaving all your sin and your captivity and the wrath of God, and even you, we Christians, you know, the sins of maybe just clinging on to our desires. How can we leave all that behind? It's not through pulling up your socks and deciding I'm going to be good tomorrow. It's going through Jesus Christ. Going through Jesus Christ, who died for us, who finished the works we could never finish, who lived the righteous life that will be given to every one of us who believes. And it's already ours if we believe. And there we find rest. Rest for our souls. What is heaven like? You know, on the graves, you see, you don't see people deceased in peace. You don't see that. You don't say abruptly ended in peace. You often find people writing on tombstones, especially from a Christian background, rest. Rest in peace. There's a lot of toil in this life, especially the battling against sin. But those who are in Jesus Christ have already today entered into his rest and one day will be with him forever without the taint of sin, enjoying and glorifying him as he deserves, enjoying the God who separated the seventh day and blessed it and made it holy. Because all of creation, the hero of the story is not ours. All of creation is about him. God is the hero of the story, the protagonist of the Bible, the center of our universe. And by his help, let us give glory to him. I pray, and let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, marveling, Lord, your mighty self, you the holy, holy, holy God. The whole creation is filled with your glory. And you have reminded us today, you have reminded us every week, Lord, through this day of rest, this Sabbath day of rest, that you are an awesome God. And our life, our greatest delight, our greatest joy is meant to be in you and can be found in you, God, for all eternity. But we confess that we sin so often, so much pride, so much lust, so much immorality, so much anger, so much self-seeking, so much sinful worry, so much delight in the things of the world as if you didn't exist. Still exists in our hearts, oh God, so much sin. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. We come to you as we have done for so long, through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, a mighty and awesome Savior who gives us rest. And ask, forgive us, oh God, forgive us. Magnify your name in our hearts, Lord. We barely give you 1%. Of the awe and glory, the love and adoration that you deserve. Magnify, Lord, your awesome name in our hearts. And so keep us, Lord, on this earth to be objects of much praise and honor to you, that everyone may see and know that you are God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.